approaching destination. Prepare to dock. Charles Chilton interview commencing.
It strikes me that it seems that you have a bit of a fascination for the red planet, Mars.
I looked at it quite often. I couldn't see much of it, but we could see the snow caps on the poles in my telescope.
Where are we now, Doc?
Got over the ice cap, Lemmy. Should be landing soon.
Is it ice?
Oh, don't see what else it can be.
I knew I should have packed more skis.
Hello back there.
Yes, Jet.
Landing is imminent. You better convert your couches to chair position and strap yourselves in.
Right.
It was, to me, the most interesting thing that I could see in my little telescope. Although, of course, if I looked at the moon, I saw much more. But I suppose I looked at the moon so often I wanted to change.
Better take a good look. It's the last we'll see of the moon for 2 years.
Seems an awful long time, doesn't it?
There goes the first flare. Take off imminent.
0-30 minutes.
That's it, Jet. Full circle.
Right, Lemmy. Now, all of you, lie back and relax. Remember, takeoff is fully automatic. Nothing should go wrong.
Well, let's hope not. 35 million miles is a long way from home.
Now, we'll be first off. The rest will follow at 2-minute intervals. 30,000 miles above the moon's surface, the motors will be cut and we'll be coasting the rest of the way. Next stop, Mars.
Now that times have changed, do you feel a desire to rewrite the same stories with the knowledge that you have now?
When I wrote Journey in Space originally, I always wrote it with a pile of books at my elbow, mainly books about space travel and, serious books on space travel, what G might one experience when one was being accelerated into space and what it would be like and the things that were likely to happen and so forth.
10.5, plus 11.
Stabilizer, stand by.
Standing by.
Stabilizer, now.
10.5, 10.
Gentlemen, we're on the moon.
And so I presume if we had new advances in space travel and I was asked to write a new series along that line, I would include all the new knowledge that we have.
Well, there's one thing to be said for these new atomic motors. With their slow acceleration, we're not likely to go through the agony we did when we first took off from Earth. You remember?
Will I ever forget? Luna was no more than an old crate compared to this job.
Let me televiewer on.
Televiewer, contact.
When it came to writing Space Force, of course, 30 years on from Journey into Space, we knew a lot more about space. So were you able to incorporate this new knowledge then into writing Space Force?
Well, I didn't. I might have been able to, but I didn't. I linked it up with ancient Egypt. I always had a love of ancient Egypt. I was born not far from the British Museum, and my earliest memories is going through the Egyptian section of the British Museum time and time again. I don't know why, but it did. And I used this love of ancient Egypt in this particular series.
Look over there. An ancient boat. Egyptian. In perfect condition.
It is the Royal Sun Boat. It does not float on water. It sails across the sky.
I suppose there it's more me giving a picture of Mars, my idea of what I would like it to be like, rather than the true scientific idea of Mars at that time.
But there are people now, I don't know if this was the case back in 1984 when you were writing this series, that believe that the ancient Egyptians did have links with the stars, that pyramids are aligned with the stars and things like that.
Well, that's what led me to do all this, of course. I knew all about the pyramids being lined up with Orion, actually, the constellation Orion. And I linked all this into the show.
We're closing in on the Martian surface.
Good.
And there's Space Force, just as we left her.
So I see.
There's the transporter, and you could just make out the solarmobile, see? Mm. On the sun side of the pyramid.
Looks like an ordinary hunk of rock from up here. Well weathered, too.
It is well weathered. Now, how many does this capsule hold?
3, maximum.
Very well. Drop Lorik and me over near the pyramid, go back for Chipper and Magnus, and drop them near Space Force, which they'll board. Once we're in contact, we shall endeavour to salvage the vehicle.
What about the spacesuits?
Oh, they're deep inside the pyramid. We'll wear the masks.
One thing I couldn't abide to read was science fiction. I didn't mind writing it, but I didn't like reading it. Especially the American Amazing Stories type. Doctor Who doesn't interest me at all.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's not really science fiction, is it? It's fairy tale more than science fiction.
And does that go for things like Star Trek and the derivatives from Star Trek, like Voyager and things like that?
I have watched a couple of them, but I view them from a point of view of, you know, if I was writing that, I would have done this. I don't sit back and enjoy it. I still enjoy H.G. Wells, I must say.
It's always been a favourite of mine. It's by H.G. Wells.
Oh, yeah?
And it's called The First Man in the Moon.
In your stories, of course, there was life on Mars. Did that echo your belief that there is life out there?
I don't believe there is life on Mars, personally. But very difficult to write a story if there's no one about.
The most advanced form of life we expect to meet is a primitive plant life.
What about the canals? Aren't they supposed to be irrigation channels dug by the Martians to water their deserts?
That was a popular belief of the 19th century.
It's not held now?
By some, yes.
Can you see the canals? Are they really there?
Well, what are known as canals certainly exist, but whether they contain water or are merely discolorations on the planet's surface, I cannot say.
It seems strange that we should be the only living things in the universe, but perhaps we're not. Perhaps we're the only living things round the sun.
Zillions of other suns.
Yeah, there are millions of other suns that have got stars all circling round them.
Well, just interesting, because I know at one point some time ago you were invited to Norway to see a film, weren't you?
Yes, I was invited to view film that had been made over Norway. And from this aeroplane, they filmed what appeared to be spiral clouds pacing alongside at the same speed as the aircraft, looking rather like spaceships, but you could see through them. And then they suddenly peeled off and went somewhere else, and then came back again on the other side of the aircraft. And they wanted people's opinion, and of course they wanted my opinion.
Because you're an expert.
Yeah, but I'm not. I mean, I'm a science fiction writer. They wanted somebody who knew something about science fact, not fiction.
I can't be sure it all happened so suddenly. Like when the shadow of an aeroplane passes near you, you have an impression and it's gone.
I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know whether it was a you know, a gimmick, whether somebody had faked it. It did seem a bit odd. I must say it was a bit strange. It did look odd, but I suppose it could have been faked.
Journey into Space Force with Charles Chilton. Transmission ended. Transmission ended. Transmission ended. Transmission ended.